Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Men Insights podcast. I do sincerely hope that you are all having a lovely week and that you will have an even better weekend. And please make sure to subscribe to the Men Insights podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, or YouTube. And please follow me on Twitter at IamFozitude for any and all future podcast information. And this one is a follow-up to the podcast I did a few months ago that was titled "The MCU is not the gold standard of Hollywood," and this one is "The MCU is not the gold standard of Hollywood Part 2. And I just felt compelled to revisit this particular topic, especially in light of recent events with particular specific films, at least. Like earlier this week, we had the big internet-breaking story of the deal between Sony and Disney with regards to the Spider-Man film franchise and the Tom Holland Spider-Man films with the MCU, that Sony has walked away from that deal, primarily due to financial reasons, because the, you know, if you didn't check out my video for that, it's exclusive to the YouTube channel, and it's my first on-camera breaking news video that I've done for the channel. So if I came off a little nervous on there, it's because I kind of was. It's only the second video that I've done on there where I show my face. The first one is the YouTube exclusive video podcast that I did where I opened up about my struggles with mental health. On there I mentioned from the Deadline article that the story was broken from, that that Disney had wanted a 50-50 financial stake in future Spider-Man films with Sony, and Sony decided, no, we're good where we are, and because apparently Marvel was getting 5% of first day gross, which is basically it's 5% for every dollar on that first day of release, which, you know, considering how many theaters and how many showings of these films, you know, that they have on that opening day, make a pretty damn good profit on just that one day. But, you know, and other than that, also the, which, because you can kind of consider this also a spin-off of my Marvel vs. DC podcast that I did from last year, and I am going to do part two for that. I am trying to finish my notes on that so that I can have it out sometime this year, because I'm really, really working hard on that. I've been working on the script for it for a while, but I might change up the format for it and have it just be like certain bullet points that I can touch on, which is essentially what I do now for the podcast. Then instead of a full-on script, I just do bullet points to touch on. But yeah, if you didn't catch the first one where I talked about why I say the gold standard of Hollywood is not the MCU, because if you follow the pattern of critics and box office gross with a lot of the most recent Marvel Cinematic Universe films, like Spider-Man Far From Home, well, again, it's a Sony film shared with the MCU, grossed over $1 billion. Avengers Endgame becoming the highest grossing film of all time, Captain Marvel grossing over $1 billion, Ant-Man and the Wasp last year being a big, well, not really, I wouldn't say a big hit, but I mean, it was successful enough, but it did see a significant dip on the second weekend. But Infinity War grossed over $1 billion as well, Black Panther over $1 billion, Captain America, I believe Captain America Civil War grossed over $1 billion as well, Iron Man 3 over $1 billion, the first Avengers film over $1 billion, Age of Ultron over $1 billion. So yeah, the MCU has several films that have grossed over $1 billion worldwide, which isn't, you know, nothing to sleep on. It's an accolade that they should definitely be proud of, that they earned that. Yeah, because most film franchises don't even have one film that's grossed over $1 billion, let alone, you know, as many as the MCU has had. Let me pull up the list of highest grossing films of all time so I can count how many that they do have that have grossed over $1 billion. Avengers Endgame, Infinity War, The Avengers, Age of Ultron, Black Panther, Civil War, Captain Marvel, technically I guess you could say Far From Home. That's 8 films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that have grossed over $1 billion. Even though, again, Far From Home is owned by Sony, it is shared with the MCU, so it still technically counts. But that is just amazing. It's really, these are all films that I do and that I have enjoyed. So I'm not complaining that about the money they gross. Yes, even Captain Marvel. I know a lot of people out there hated it. I had my issues with it as well, but I still enjoyed it for the most part. Like I said in my review, I wouldn't put it in my top 10. I would probably put it in my top 15. That's just me. But it's just this idea that all superhero properties and comic book properties and even properties that have nothing to do with the MCU need to follow the formula of what the MCU does just bothers me so much. And this is even partially triggered by an article that I saw that I think it was from maybe, I don't know if it's Screen Rant or another website that they said, talking about the scene from Endgame where future Cap and past 2012 Captain America, you know, had their little fight, and it was stopped when, you know, present day Captain America, or, you know, 2023 Captain America, said Bucky is alive, that stopped the fight. And they were comparing that to the Martha scene in Batman vs Superman. The headline read, "How Avengers Endgame did the Batman vs Superman Martha moment the right way." And of course, you know, DCEU fans on Twitter, they did not like that. And it's just, like these critics are just afraid to admit that some of these films are just not as perfect as they think they are. And with Endgame, as much as I loved Endgame, I still haven't purchased the Blu-ray yet. I've been a little busy, you know, with other more important things than buying a movie. Which I'm still gonna do it. I will. But it was not completely perfect. It was a perfect send off for these characters, you know, particularly, you know, with Iron Man and Captain America, well, Steve Rogers, because they're not gonna be there anymore. So it was the perfect send off for them, to me. But it is not a perfect film, because really, honestly, you know, even though I did say Spider-Man 2 was the perfect Spider-Man film, like, I'm just meaning, like, overall, there was really no such thing as the perfect film. Probably the closest I would say is maybe Godfather Part 2, because that is my all-time favorite movie. But just this idea that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is flawless is just not true. And how critics want every film, every comic book film, to follow that formula is just, it angers and frustrates me. Which is a big reason why I love the Amazon Prime show, The Boys, because it really does poke fun at that concept of the superheroes being a business. Not just that they're heroes saving people, that it's a business. And there's even like a little thing like where they're flipping through, one of them is flipping through channels and lands on the Black Noir sitting with Seth Rogen talking about the Vought Cinematic Universe, because these characters, the heroes on there that are part of, you know, Vought's the Seven, you know, Homelander and all of them, that they are named, they are name brands. They're not just real life heroes. They are name brand properties that are trademarked and owned by the Vought Corporation. Very much like how these films and these characters are owned by Disney. And it really does poke fun at that whole concept. And because bloggers, especially the MCU Cosmic, that Jeremy Conrad dude especially, because like I don't follow him because just he. Gosh, if you know who he is and you're listening to this, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I say some of these things. But, like, you know, his response to the news of Sony's deal with Disney basically ending as of right now, that he put out a tweet saying, MCU Cosmic will no longer cover Spider-Man films not involved with the MCU. And to me, that just comes off as very bitter, very entitled, and honestly quite pathetic. And I even, when I saw somebody that they shared the screenshot of it, I said, word for word, this is what I said, and apologize if people don't like this, but I said, he sure does love having that Disney cock balls deep down his throat, doesn't he? Because that's exactly what he is. They talk about, you know, shills and all that stuff. He is the biggest MCU shill that I've ever seen on social media. Like, even the logo for his website is literally the Marvel Studios logo, written as MCU Cosmic, which I'm surprised he hasn't been sued by Disney for basically infringing on their logo. Which, you know, I shouldn't really talk because I've used stuff like that for my own brand. But anyways, it comes with also, like, with Dark Phoenix. Like, a lot of stuff that has come out since the film was in theaters, which, yes, even though I said I enjoyed it for the most part, you know, there was a lot of parts of it that I did like. I admit that it did flop. It was not perfect. It is definitely on the low end of where I would rank the X-Men film franchise, which I am gonna have a worst to best, for the X-Men films coming out soon. Not sure when. Probably sometime in September. Because, like I said, with the Spider-Man one, it was an hour and a half, a little bit longer than that. So I don't know how often I'm going to do these, because if they're all going to be that long or longer, then I'm going to have to really space them out. And with the X-Men one, because I'm going to be including the main X-Men stories and Wolverine and Deadpool, that's 12 films. So that's going to be like 2 hours long. I'm going to have to really space that out. But just a lot of stuff that I've read with the behind-the-scenes stuff of Dark Phoenix, that when the Disney purchasing 20th Century Fox deal came into play last year, that there was a lot of reshoots done for Dark Phoenix, because a lot of the rumors that I've heard, you know, again, these are just rumors, so take it with a grain of salt. Don't take it as me saying that these are fact. That a lot of the word is that Disney did not want it to overshadow Captain Marvel, because they were banking so heavily on Captain Marvel being their first, you know, female-led Marvel film, and Dark Phoenix would have beat them to the punch with that. And because it was supposed to have been released December of last year, and it was not, and then it was supposed to be February of this year, February 14th, to be specific, which would have been 3 weeks before Captain Marvel hit theaters, and then that got pushed to June 3rd. And, you know, and then just, and also the third act, which, you know, was the train sequence that we saw a little bit of it in the trailers. That was the best part of the whole movie, in my opinion, so I have no fault with that. I love that, you know, that final act of the film. But allegedly, the original final act of the film, they said, was very similar to the final act of Captain Marvel. And Kevin Feige and company allegedly did not want people to make those comparisons. Again, whether or not any of this is true, I don't know. I'm just speculating based on different stories that I've heard from other people that are slightly more credible than I am. You know, whether or not there's any validity to this, I can't say right now. You know, I'm not someone who has a source or an insider that gives me this information. My sources are other people reporting stuff from their source. So, and but because it wasn't following the MCU formula. And it was from the little bit that I've heard, it was gonna overshadow some of what the MCU does with regard to the what they were going to do with Captain Marvel, Feige and them had them change it to the film that we ended up getting. Which, I mean, I remembered a month before Dark Phoenix came out, it was reported that the runtime was going to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. The film we got in theaters was just under 2 hours. Which means they definitely fucked around with it. And part of me does believe it may have been Disney's influence, since as of March, they officially own all the Fox properties. Not just X-Men and Deadpool and Fantastic Four. Disney owns a lot of these properties now. They own Avatar. They own Predator. They own the Aliens franchise now as well. They own Family Guy, The Simpsons. They own FX, ESPN, Hulu, National Geographic. It's a lot. And, but it's just, again, the idea that these films have to follow the same basic and at times very predictable formula of the MCU, I just do not agree with. Like, I like films that take risks and try to be different and stand out. Because, like even Hellboy, that got, from what I haven't watched the new Hellboy yet, but from what I heard, that got dicked around with as well, and they tried to MCU it, and that film failed as well. And even films that aren't comic book superhero films have been failing because of the, like, as they call it, the MCU fatigue or whatever it is. Like, Godzilla vs. King Kong was not as big of a hit as it should have been, and because some of the critics comparing and making some comparisons to the MCU, which they shouldn't because it has nothing to do with the MCU. And then also how they seem to always go back to comparing certain things to Batman vs. Superman, which these bloggers and critics, they swore that they hated the movie, yet they can't shut up about it, which is just funny how that works. And besides, that film came out 3.5 years ago, and they will not shut up about the Martha scene. Like, if a film that these people claim to hate so much, why do they keep talking about it? You know? I mean, like, I hated the 2015 Fantastic Four. You don't see me talking about it 4 years later. But yeah, like, not every film has to be a happy ending superhero MCU story. Like, look at Logan. That film was so raw, real, gritty, and I loved it. You know, it's like I've heard other people to talk about that. When that came out and it started and it was the hit that it was, that, you know, thought that there was gonna be like a shift, in like a tonal shift in the comic book, you know, movie world. But 3 months later, we had Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and then Spider-Man Far From Home. And that's far from Spider-Man Homecoming, sorry. And then Thor Ragnarok 4 months after that. And it's just, nothing's changed, you know? And that's unfortunate, because a film like Logan, to me, is the kind of superhero film that I want to see more of. Where, you know, that there's, it's more dramatic. Not so many jokes that are, at times, really, really forced. Which is why Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, while I enjoyed it, I had it when I did my ranking of the MCU films last year, Captain Marvel, pre-Endgame, because I ranked the 20 films that it was up to that point, I had it on the lower half of my rankings, and had the first film in the top 10. Because again, I didn't, nothing against the humor from Volume 2. You know, I did laugh at a lot of it, but there was parts of it that did feel too forced, and that was my big gripe with it. Especially that over the top belly laugh that Batista did as Drax, that was too much. But again, I don't hate the film. It's just some of the jokes did not land with me. That's just me. I know others that love these pictures and think that they're so perfect, and that's fine. Good for them. That's how they feel. I'm not gonna tell them they're wrong. They feel how they feel, and they have every right to do so. And And even the even X-Men Days of Future Past, particularly the Rogue Cut. That's it. I want to see more of films like that where there's well-balanced humor, but there's like serious stakes in the story and, you know, people. Sorry, just looking at my phone, saw a couple of, you know, notifications from people I don't know, so anyways, just, I mean, not, I know the MCU formula, it works for Disney, you know, they have proven to, it is a proven formula for them. Hell, again, that's why they have, I mean, well, not counting Far From Home, since again, that is owned by Sony, but the ones owned by Disney, you know, Captain America Civil War, Captain Marvel, Iron Man 3, Black Panther, and the four Avengers films, you know, those have all been huge successes, and pretty much every MCU film, with the exception of Thor 1 and 2 and The Incredible Hulk, that all of them are certified fresh. And I think Iron Man 2 also was not certified fresh. They were fresh, but not certified fresh. You know, the majority of their films are ranked certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and the people, they see that certified fresh sticker on that Blu-ray cover, that DVD cover, and automatically to them it's like, oh, that means this is the best. I mean, Iron Man 1, best Iron Man film, yes. Captain America Winter Soldier, best Captain America film, no doubt about that. But just certified fresh on all of them, I don't buy that, no. Because, as I've said many times before, certified fresh does not automatically make the film better. It just means that a lot of critics liked it. But a lot of my favorite films are rotten according to that website. Like the original Halloween 2 from 1981. According to Rotten Tomatoes, it's a rotten film, but it is loved by so many people around the world. For some people, it's even their favorite Halloween film. But, you know, if we're supposed to take Rotten Tomatoes as definitive, you know, as the definitive standard of Hollywood and, you know, and gospel, then yeah. And also how much money some of these movies make, that people think that because it makes so much money, that means it's better. Well, a lot of people hated Star Wars The Last Jedi. Not me. I loved it. A lot of people hated Star Wars The Last Jedi. That one grossed over $1 billion as well. You know? A lot of people hated Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. That grossed over $1 billion. And a lot of people did not like Fast and Furious 8, or their AKA The Fate of the Furious. That grossed over $1 billion. A lot of people hated Iron Man 3. Mostly for the Mandarin twist, that grossed over $1 billion. So, making over $1 billion doesn't automatically mean it's a great film. Hell, Transformers: Dark of the Moon grossed more money than Lord of the Rings: Return of the King, and Lord of the Rings: Return of the King is one of my all-time favorite films. In fact, if I actually had to rank them right now, it would be in my top 5 favorite films of all time. So, yeah. I just wish people would, you know, try to open their minds, especially people on Twitter, when talking about, you know, MCU films, like, especially Spider-Man, which, again, I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man, can't wait to see what we get from him in the future with those two films that he's still contracted to do, whether it's going to be just with Sony, we'll see how that works out, or if the MCU is able to work out another deal with Sony, we'll see how that works out. Excuse me, how that works out as well. where was I going with this? Shit, sorry, I started burping and I lost my train of thought. Fuck. Yeah, the Spider-Man fans on Twitter, that, so the ones that are like super obsessed with Tom Holland Spider-Man, that they shit on every version of Spider-Man before that, that they say Sam Raimi films were garbage, Tobey Maguire was the worst Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield is horrible Spider-Man, those films were garbage. Obviously, I don't agree. I've loved all the Spider-Man films. And as I said in my ranking of the Spider-Man films, I can find something for all of those Spider-Man films that I can love and can make me love those movies. Now, but the as they call them, the MCU Tom Holland stands, cannot accept the opinion of someone who says Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man film of all time. They will tell them, oh, but it didn't make, look how much money Far From Home made, therefore it's better than Spider-Man 2. I mean, yeah, I did rank it as number 3 on my list, but Spider-Man 2, for me, is still the cult standard of Spider-Man films. And just, like I say, it's okay to have for everyone to have their opinions. It is, you know, they are not wrong for feeling the way they feel, because that is how they feel. But just thinking that because it's if it has Marvel Studios above the title of the film, that it's automatically better. Not necessarily. I mean, like, if you remember from my list, again, my MCU list from last year, I ranked Ant-Man and the Wasp as the worst of the, as my worst, what I consider to be the worst film of the MCU. And I had a lot of reasons, which you can check that one out here on the little archives of this, whether you're listening to this on Radio Public or Spotify or YouTube or whatever, you can find it in there. And it's just, it's okay to have different opinions on this stuff. Don't make people feel like shit for not sharing your opinion. I get shit on a lot on social media for not sharing the same opinion as other people. And I just find that to be hilarious. Because, as I say, I love Marvel and DC, but I'm primarily a DC guy. And I just hate how people kept begging for the DC films, the most recent DC films, to try to follow that MCU formula. But look what happened with Justice League. I mean, and again, I know in my, when I did the Snyder Cut, you know, originally it was going to be a five-parter that I did last year, talking about Justice League, and I said that I enjoyed the film. It's because, well, when I saw the film in theaters that first weekend, I did love it. Repeated views, I mean, a lot of it does not hold up as much as it did that first viewing, but I can still enjoy watching it. But that film failed because they tried to Marvelize it, and that's what made it fail so heavy and so hard. Which is another reason why I find it hilarious that another article, I think it's from Comic Book Resource or comicbook.com, saying that we don't need a Snyder Cut, we need a Whedon cut. Which, I mean, if you've seen the film, and most people I've talked to who don't like Zack Snyder at all, people that I've talked to, when I point out to them which parts are Whedon, which parts are Snyder, they agree that the Whedon reshot stuff is some of the worst of the film. Because, well, it is. Which is why, so badly, I hope that we will eventually get that Snyder Cut. Especially after goddamn Jason Momoa. I love that man. He's such a beautiful soul, beautiful man, beautiful human being. That he posted that Zack Snyder showed him the Snyder Cut. And that, as in his words, it's sick. Damn you, Jason. I wish I was there. Hopefully we will get it, and Mark Hughes, as I mentioned on podcast a couple weeks ago, that he's come around saying, you know, that he's seen some things, he's been shown some things, to where he finally admits and acknowledges that yes, the Snyder Cut does exist, and he believes that it'll be released on the HBO Max streaming service with sometime within the year, or a version of a Snyder Cut, whether that's the full 2.5 hour version or a 3.5 hour version of, or like a 2.5 hour to 45 minute version, or even a 3 hour version of it. That's more complete than the full 3.5 hours. That he believes that one will be released on HBO Max, which I hope it will be, so that it'll show people that the MCU way does not necessarily have to be the way for all comic book movies. Just again, if the MCU is your favorite film franchise, cool. I'm not gonna shit on you for that. You know, I'll leave that to the bullshit people, to the bullshit on Twitter, for people to feel like shit for that kind of stuff. You know, I try not to engage in that. Sometimes I get sucked into it, you know, and I can only do so much. But I try not to shit on other people's film preferences or preferences of their fandoms. But I love Marvel. I love DC. But Marvel Studios is not the only way to make these movies. And with that, I conclude another episode of the Men in Tights podcast, and I hope you all enjoyed listening to me ramble on for the last 30 minutes. Hope you heard something that you liked, something that you didn't like. Either way, thanks for tuning in. And again, please make sure you turn into, or that you check out my retro film reviews that I've had on here, for the 1994 Lion King, for Masters of the Universe, and for Adventures of Baron Munchausen that I just premiered this week, and also the Worst to Best that I premiered last week, where I ranked the Spider-Man films. I'm going to try to do more of those coming in the future. Again, I mentioned earlier about the X-Men Worst to Best, which I'm going to try to do for September. And then in October, as I've been talking about for a while, I have the Halloween worst to best that I'm gonna actually premiere it on Halloween Day, because why not? And then I mentioned on the Comic-Con podcast that I also had plans to do one for the Terminator films, but I'm gonna do that after I see Dark Fate. So I'm gonna try to see Dark Fate that opening weekend, do my review of that film, and then do the rankings of the films as well. And then I'm going to do one for Star Wars in December, but that one I have not decided if I'm going to do it before or after I see Rise of Skywalker. But I will let you all know. If you follow me on Twitter at IamFozitude, you will know all that information. And follow me on Instagram at Fozitude, follow me on Vero at Fozitude, subscribe to the Men in Tights podcast on Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, or YouTube. And support the Men in Tights podcast on Patreon with a nice little $5 a month membership where you can contribute your ideas to the podcast, and I will do every idea that you guys suggest for me. That is my promise and guarantee to you. If you become a patron of the podcast, a patron of my Hall of Justice, it's only $5 a month, and you can submit full podcast ideas. You can submit new segment ideas. Like if you're a fan of my retro film reviews or the worst of the best, or you can just submit anything to that. And I will do every single one of them. That is my guarantee and promise to all of you. And also, please, purchase some merchandise in my Men in Tights podcast store. I have 4 shirts available in there right now. They're only $20. You also get some stickers and wall art and pins. Description for that and for the Patreon will be in the description of the podcast. The link for those, will be in the description. And as always, thank you all so much for tuning in and for subscribing to the podcast. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do. I really, truly, genuinely do. I thank all of you for that, and I love every single one of you. And I hope you all enjoy your weekend, that you spend it with your loved ones if you can, and if you have to work, that really sucks, but I hope you enjoy your weekend either way. This has been the Men in Tights podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. I will see you all next time. Bye.